At this time, prepare yourself for the most powerful man in Canada, as they discuss top tech. This week, enterprise issues.
The great thing about Dropbox is that it's like multiplayer iCloud. Because you can put whatever you want there, and you can say, oh, I want to share it with this person. And then you can. So if you have stuff that you want to share across different apps or whatever, you can just say, oh, yeah, just share this text file out or share this database out or do whatever.
Yeah, I love Dropbox as well, and I use it for a lot of my own personal stuff. Problem I have are work-related stuff. You know, people are using this. Any IT department has three basic ways of dealing with technology they don't like.
Yes.
They can either ignore it and hope that it doesn't become a problem, just kind of cover their eyes and their ears and say, la, 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 whatever. They can tell people not to use it and enforce that and make rule breakers of a bunch of people in the area or spend a lot of resources trying to fight this and basically forcing people to use a solution that's worse.
Yes, so SharePoint.
SharePoint is terrible and not cross-platform and all these other issues. And no one's using SharePoint. It's available, but nobody's using it. Or the third option is buy a solution or make a solution that provides the same kind of functionality as something like Dropbox or any other technology you're wanting to implement, but allows you to have it in-house in some way and have more control over it because you're worried about privacy.
But you already have Dropbox integrated solely into the place that you work. It's your network drives.
Very convenient.
Exactly. The network drives in some ways can be less convenient.
A lot less convenient. I can't easily access my network drive from a web page like I can with Dropbox.
Right.
I can't right-click on a file or a folder in my network drive and just share it with someone with a link and then just email them that link. I have to copy the file out, email it to them, and send it to them, and then I've got versioning problems and all sorts of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Had a coworker that said they wanted to access their network drive on their iPad because they were going to be traveling abroad and they wanted to have access to all their files. And so I found an application to do this. Unfortunately, I can't remember the name of it right now. But the problem with it is, of course, unlike Dropbox, you can open the file up in another application. Say you've got an Office suite of software that you can open stuff up. You can send
pages,
it. Yeah, you've got pages. You can open up this file browser, browse to your network drive and your shares, and click on your files and send them to these applications. But once they're sent to those applications, you can't send them back. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't get them back.
You can't save it.
You can't. You have to save it to your Dropbox.
That's ridiculous.
It's because these Office applications have to be aware of the file browser that you're using, right? The file browser can be aware of a word processor, and it can be written to say, hey, look for this kind of program on the iPad and send it to that program. But the onus is on the software developer of the Office suite to know about all these other ways of getting files back. So a lot of them know about Dropbox. So Dropbox is really convenient, right? Like, you send a Dropbox file to this application, and you open it up, and you work on it, and you save it back to Dropbox. It works really great. But unfortunately, with our network shares, you just can't do that. So you have all these huge problems that didn't used to be a problem because we didn't think we could do these things. But now that you can, with this third-party solution, it becomes really problematic. I really think a company like Dropbox needs to offer an internally hosted solution. You should be able to get your own box, a Dropbox, and you plug it into your network, and maybe you pay a monthly or yearly service fee to Dropbox to have access to this. But everything is actually hosted. All your data is actually hosted on your own Dropbox. I'm making air quotes here.
So is it actually available externally, or is it available only internally?
I would suggest that it would be available externally, but you know that you could make that kind of limitation. But the thing is you would go to the Dropbox application, whether it be desktop or iPad or web-based, and you should be able to put in some credential information to say, look at this Dropbox instead of the generic Dropbox, which is the world's, you know? And you should be able to do that, and it should be able to have all sorts of great things like maybe Active Directory synchronization, so it can connect up into your Active Directory, so you just have one username and password, so everyone in your environment can connect up to it without having to have new credentials set up. And I would imagine that it would be an expensive undertaking to do, but I would imagine they could make huge money from companies that refuses to allow its employees to store their files on Dropbox because of security concerns.
You see, this is a big difference again. This is another example of what happens when enterprise moves too slow. Applications designed for individuals provide a better experience.
Way better.
Yeah, a much better experience. And then people start screaming for that public level company to start making something for enterprise. And you don't want that because then they'll ruin it.
Johnny,
that is quite possible.
you had said that there were three options, right? Like, IT department will look at Dropbox and do one of three things. They'll either bury their heads in the sand, they'll either go on the offensive and make people examples and say, like, you did something wrong, you're a rule breaker. They will, I can't remember what the third option was.
Develop their own solution.
It provides
the same kind of functionality.
There is a fourth option, is that the IT department could embrace the solution and find a way to make it work for everybody. In our case, I mean, because we're talking from a Canadian perspective, that can't work. When you're sharing things that are potentially sensitive, you can't put those on Dropbox, obviously. But when you're sharing things that aren't potentially sensitive, like visual design guidelines or pieces of art that you need multiple people to look at, those kind of things, it doesn't matter if they're hosted in the States or not. It wouldn't make a difference.
Yeah.
If the IT department embraced it and said, okay, everybody can use Dropbox in your organization if you want to use it. However, there are a few caveats, and nobody will listen to the caveats. That's the problem. Because it'll be, you know, oh, well, anything that's stored on there, we have no responsibility over. So if you lose something, that's not our concern. Everything that's stored on there is now subject to Sarbanes-Oxley and is also part of HIPAA, H-I-P-P-A, whatever they're called, the Freedom of Information Act thing, where you have to have information security on anything that's personal information. So personal privacy, that's what it was. People won't pay attention to that because it'll be like, oh, we're opening that up. So,
and it's so easy to have anything that could be considered personal information stored, a student's name or an email or a student number. You could be potentially just even another employee's piece of information, right? Mm-hmm. Or someone from the community's information in there of any kind.
Pretty sure SharePoint was made to solve this problem anyway.
It was, but it's... Yeah. Nobody uses it.
It was designed before Dropbox existed.
It was.
Before we knew how easy it could be.
It is incredibly easy. One and four are basically the same thing. One, burying your head in the sand, and four, saying that people could use it, but they're not allowed to use this, this, and this, and they do it anyway, are basically the same solution. It's just a matter of whether or not you're coming out and saying it or not, right? Because it's really the same thing.
No, if you embrace something and you're saying Dropbox is something that the entire organization is free to use and the IT department, you know, we give it our blessing, however you have to obey these certain rules, is saying that the IT department will support Dropbox as far as the client goes. I can't get Dropbox working on my system. That the difference in terms of support is where somebody from desktop support says, well, we don't support Dropbox and I'm going to uninstall it from your computer. Or, yes, we can help you get running on that. Do you remember your password? You don't remember your password, then you click here and you go and ask them to send you your password back again.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see in the next, even, I was going to say next couple of years, but even the next few months to see how this changes. But this brings on to the bigger topic of the whole idea of consumer technologies entering into the workplace and how that was so verboten for years and years, and now it is becoming commonplace. And the perfect example of this is iPads and iPhones. My institution was Windows and BlackBerry only, and now it's not officially anything goes, but it's becoming that. People are bringing whatever they want.
So basically what we need to do now is we need to convince C-level executives that they want to use Dropbox.
C-levels are the one who will actually do that. When they say, I like using this, and so therefore I want to be able to use this when I go to work because I have work stuff.
They're the only people who can say, hey, I want to use this, make it work for me or else you're fired.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting time. I read a really great article about why RIM is going to go down in flames. And it's really sad because Nortel went down, and now if RIM goes down, basically the big IT companies of Canada will be no more. And it's a saddening thing, but really...
Yeah, ATI was bought up by AMD, weren't they?
Yes, they were.
So now they're American, and nobody talks about Matrox anymore, so...
No, but although ATI isn't a down in flames thing, right? Like, they got purchased, whereas Nortel got broken up into little pieces, and their IP got bought out, but the actual idea of their products is really, it's gone, you know? It's not like AMD kind of just like, oh, we're going to take all your IP and get your customers to us and use your brand names and stuff like that. It's Nortel is just no more.
But
I'm worried about RIM, the same thing happening. But the interesting thing is that what RIM did a few years ago, when this started really taking root in IT departments, where the bring your own tech kind of idea, where people were bringing iPhones and iPads and Android phones, starting to bring, you know, maybe some other devices as well, they really doubled down on enterprise. And I think that it was a huge mistake, that we have moved from a world where technology has been for a long time be defined by enterprise level and then trickled down to the consumer. And it's going the other direction. And companies like RIM have not seen the writing on the wall.
I can tell you exactly why this is the case. The enterprise and the people who manage enterprise don't want innovation. They want stability.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want anything new because new things are new things they have to learn and have to support. They want it to stay the same forever because once they've got it set up and working properly and they have a system to make sure it works properly, they don't want change.
Yeah, all three of us have worked in some regards in an IT space, and that's not a prevailing feeling amongst employees, but it seems to be definitely a prevailing feeling amongst managers. Yeah. But well, as somebody there are some employees, too, that feel that way.
As someone who aspires to be a manager of an IT department, when I worked at one of the colleges I worked at previously, we had a guy who was a real cowboy, and he wanted to try everything. And so he did. He tried all sorts of cool stuff. Let's bring this in. Like, when the bulk of the world is buying Cisco networking gear, he's buying stuff from Juniper Networks. He's buying stuff from 3Com. Stuff that is nowhere near as expensive, but gives you 80% of what you need to deliver. And for a college, that's great. Having 80% of what you need to deliver is just fine. You know, because you don't need 10 gigabit backplanes. At least at the time, you didn't need gigabit backplanes, right? When Cisco was offering that, it's like, well, we don't need such a thing in our infrastructure. He would be buying big towers from Dell. He'd be buying PowerEdge servers that are available in towers. And we had big storage racks set up. These are not computing racks that, you know, the 1U, 2U, 4U kind of thing. These are actual storage racks that had multiple machines sitting on them, with all connected through KVMs to a central area where he could manage stuff. And it was a little ridiculous. It was kind of getting out of control, in fact, and he was eventually let go because the next guy they brought in said, okay, so we're going to migrate all of this stuff off of these because we're going to have to replace these servers soon anyway. So we're going to replace all of these servers and we're going to put them into racks, or we're going to buy a Blade server, or we're going to do whatever the hell it is we were going to do. We're going to buy proper racks for all this stuff, and we're going to, you know, have an air conditioning solution, and we're going to do, like, they really modernized the server farm. I'm thinking, the cowboy thing was good for its time, because when you needed to really save that money and when you really needed to make the most of what you had, you got creative in what it is you could do. And, yeah, well, but now we've come to a point where it's like, now you have to grow and you have to do something that's more enterprise friendly.
Yeah, well, and you get to a certain point through that cowboy mentality, and I've worked in a lot of IT places that have done this, that eventually you get to a certain level of quality of equipment and service, not equipment, but services that you're providing, that cowboy style of building those, it isn't sustainable. And eventually those things are going to break down and fail, and you're going to run into all sorts of problems, and keeping them maintained becomes really, really difficult because people get used to being able to have a certain amount of things. You basically do a shoestring budget to build something so you can give people the services they want or you think that they want, and then they start using them, and then those cheap solutions that you bought in order to make it work start failing on you, and you really need to actually just start building something stable that's going to actually work over the long term and has an upgrade path and all these other things. And you're right, there's that kind of, a lot of times there's a period where you have to buy the cheap stuff just to kind of patch it together make it work and make do. But eventually, one day you have to grow up and say, we need to try to have this in kind of a sustainable way that is manageable over a long period of time. But it's an interesting balancing act of that idea of
it was kind
getting
of a startup mentality.
Oh yeah, but you can go way too far the other way where you're unwilling to try interesting and new things, and you have these 3-year processes of piloting projects, and
it kind of sucks the fun out of IT in a way, because
it does.
When I was working and we had 3-year evergreening and stuff like that, it was just the idea that, well, okay, in 3 years we know that we'll be replacing these labs with new Dell PCs. Like, you will know that in 3 years' time. Oh yeah, in 3 years' time we'll be replacing with other Dell PCs. Why Dells? Because that's what we've always purchased, and no one ever got fired for buying Dell. And that's kind of what happened. So I was extremely happy when somebody came to me and said, oh, you know, the graphic design workshop area, they want to put in Macs. I don't know why. So we're going to have you do you want to do the Mac lab? Yes, I want to do the Mac lab. Thank you. Please let me do the Mac lab. And I got to do 2 Mac labs, the original one on their G4s and then the replacement on the Cheese Grater G5s.
Yes.
And they were a lot of fun to do because they were really different from what I was normally doing in my job. And it's important not to forget that the people in your IT department want different things to do as well. Like, we want to be able to come to work and say, hey, check out my new iPhone. That's awesome. Okay, now let's work on that BlackBerry platform. You know, we don't want to do that. We want to go, check out my iPhone. This is awesome. Man, I wonder what we could do to get these things working for everybody here.
Yes. I think that, for me anyway, it's hard to judge how IT has gone before I started working in IT, but definitely does feel like there was a period, as you say, where we were just making do. For me anyway, it was in the 90s. And then in the last decade, it's all been about conforming to things.
Best practices, you know.
All that sort of stuff.
All the time.
And I wonder if this is an industry thing or it's just how my individual IT department was working. But we're definitely getting back to what I was saying before about this huge influx of consumer-based solutions that are providing solutions for our users that are better than what we're providing or more interesting or different. It is impossible to turn that back. People in IT have to realize that they have to find a way of integrating this stuff into the way that they're doing their jobs now. And it is exciting, and you shouldn't be worried about it. You should be excited by the potential and the possibilities of it. And I am. And that's
and
what
for
that's,
no other and for no other reason than if your users are coming to you excited about technology, means that they're going to be more productive with the technology they want to use.
That is the best part of my job, no matter what I'm doing, is when a person is excited about something either I've shown them or they've brought to me, and we've talked about ways that this can make things easier for them in some way or allow them to do things that they haven't been able to do before. It's so amazing to be able to have that part of IT, and I felt like that was kind of lost for a while. And the influx of consumer technology into IT, I think, is a new explosion of that energy, and I'm really excited by it.
And with that, I am Johnny Blakebro.
I'm Ian Horner.
And I'm Brendan Beach-Deary.
And this has been Top Tech by The Most Powerful Men in Canada. Thanks for joining us. The Most Powerful Men in Canada would love to hear from you. Please contact us by visiting our website at toptech.tiltyhouse.com if you have any comments or if there are any subjects you'd like us to cover in a future show.